The coronavirus pandemic has turned life as we know it upside down.
We're in the United States of America, and you think to yourself, how in the hell did we let this happen?
How are our communities, our jobs, and our daily lives changing? And where do we go from here?
We've spent billions of dollars hunting down terrorist cells. We don't do that with pandemics. That's the wrong approach.
America Interrupted, a new original podcast series from the PBS NewsHour, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Vika Aronson, podcast producer for PBS NewsHour. Before we get back to the show, I want to tell you about another podcast from our promotional partners at PRX, Ear Hustle, from PRX's Radiotopia. Ear Hustle brings you the daily realities of life inside prison, shared by those living it, and stories from post-incarceration. It's hosted by Nigel Poor, a Bay Area visual artist, Erlon Woods, who was formerly incarcerated at San Quentin State Prison, and Rasan Thomas, a current resident at San Quentin. They'll cover topics like prison nicknames, myths and prison legends, relationships between incarcerated people and correctional officers, and the difficult subject of sex offenders. You can listen and subscribe at earhustlesq.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now to the analysis of Shields and Brooks. That is syndicated columnist Mark Shields and New York Times columnist David Brooks. Hello to both of you. Let's start with the administration, the Department of Justice, asking a federal judge to throw out the case against Michael Flynn, the president's former national security advisor, who had pleaded guilty to lying about his contacts with Russian diplomats. We're going to see what the judge does, but right now the president is praising this. He's saying the FBI is full of people acting in bad faith. Mark, what do we make of this?
Jeff Sessions was essentially fired as Attorney General for not being Donald Trump's in-house lawyer. Donald Trump said he always wanted Roy Cohn to be the Attorney General, his lawyer, and Bill Barr is living up to that job description. It's hard to believe that Bill Barr, having been Attorney General once before, would want this as his epitaph, that he was Donald Trump's Roy Cohn, but that's all you can conclude. This is a man, General Flynn, who twice admitted and pleaded guilty, spoke to the judge and to the court, apologizing for lying to investigators, promising the grace of God to make things right. Here we are. He's walking free. And the villain in the piece is American law enforcement. I mean, that's the berated and condemned institution. There was no waterboarding. There was no third degree that I know of that has been alleged in that confession coming forward. But that's the impression that is left.
And David, not only this, the president seems to be promising more to come. We're not sure what that's a reference to. But it certainly caught everybody's attention.
Yeah, there are a couple things true here. The first is that Flynn confessed, so he pleaded guilty. So I take him at his word that he lied. The second thing is that the Justice Department has become a hyper-partisan institution, and we can't have faith in its judgments. The third thing, though, is that the FBI might have screwed up here. The journalist Eli Lake of Bloomberg is a good journalist, has been making this argument for several months now. And the documents that have come out seem to clear Lake's longtime argument, which was that the original investigation into Flynn by the FBI did not reveal anything. And they kept the investigation open. They at least considered the possibility they're keeping the investigation open, not to convict him of something, but to induce him to lie. And so I don't know how to balance these two facts. I don't myself have the expertise to say whether the FBI really screwed up the investigation, whether they were really trying to hound him out of the job, but it's at least a possibility. And it's the problem, the core problem is here, we do have a set of authorities who we could completely trust on this. And frankly, I've been trying to find news organizations who really give an expert opinion on FBI's behavior, and I've had trouble getting to the bottom of that just as a, you know, a journalistic outsider.
Mark, what about you? What do you make of these accusations from the FBI, these disclosures about what the agents were talking about before they went to interview Michael Flynn?
Yes, I think, Judy, what we have here, there's no question about it, is that this occurred, Michael Flynn's statement, calling and speaking with Ambassador Kislyak of the Russians, the day that 35 Russian spies were banished from the United States by the Obama administration. And the assurance was, don't act, don't overreact. We'll get back to you, and this will be okay. That's the story. And it's pretty damn clear that it was a condoning of Russian intervention in the 2016 election. It's a green light to Russian further intervention and subversion of the 2020 election. When the President of the United States calls the FBI scum, and the one charge I think that stands is the investigation of Carter Page, which was inappropriate, was wrong. I don't think this is right or healthy or in any way helpful to this country. And I think the president stands responsible.
And at the same time, David, you do have Democrats, and you both have referred to this, saying the Justice Department has just become way too politicized in a way that's unacceptable for the country.
Well, this is the story of May and April and March of 2020, the need for institutional structures in our government that we can trust and rely upon. And in some cases, that's just a weak response on testing and other things. But in this case, it's the long time erosion of authority of the Justice Department. The Justice Department has always been teetering on the brink, going back to, you know, maybe even Robert Kennedy. But in this administration, it's over the brink. And so even in a case where I can't believe I'm defending Michael Flynn, but saying to Kislyak, don't be alarmed, this will be okay, that seems to be representing Trump's clear policies, which is sympathetic to Russia. So to me, it's not necessarily convicting, but I have no authority as a citizen to go to think, okay, these guys are on the level, because the Justice Department under President Trump doesn't seem to be on the level.
Well, Mark, go ahead, and then I want to ask you about something else, but go ahead.
On the Justice Department, I think that under Ed Meese and a couple of other Republican attorneys general, there were open questions. I think we, for the most part, have been served with attorneys general who have operated independently and honorably and legally. I certainly would include Robert Kennedy in that group.
David, I want to turn both of you to the president and the pandemic. I mean, it's clear in the last few days he's talked repeatedly about we need to change the focus more to the economy, worry more about getting people back to work. He said today when he was asked about, he said, will some people be affected badly? Yes, but we have to get our country open, and we have to get it open soon. Is he making the right call here?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a clear trade-off between our safety and our economy. And if we were winning, then I think his rhetoric would be justified, but we are not winning. If you look at the death rates, we're pretty much around 2,000 a day. It's been month after month, week after week of this. The curve is flat, but it's not going down. The death rate is hellacious. The people who model these things are raising their estimates of how many people are going to die. So we're just not winning. And someday we'll get to the point where opening up seems to me a smart strategy, but I personally don't see the evidence of that looking at the data, and neither do people who know a lot more about this than me, the health experts. And so Trump seems to me wildly premature in doing this. And frankly, the American people seem to me a little premature. Over the last week, even as the health data continues to be terrible, people are loosening. The travel is up, gathering is up. I think just as fellow citizens, we've got to try to hang in there a little longer until we can get some sense of a better sense of control, some sense of a downward slope, which we just do not see right now, especially when you take out the New York data. The rest of the country, you see an upward slope.
But Mark, the president just seems determined to let these states do what they want, as we now more than 30 states are opening up. at a different pace. But he does seem determined to let this run its course, to let them do what they think is right.
Yes, and all responsibility is with the governors for opening it up. If anything, then there's a second out, then the president can distance himself from it politically. I don't think there's any question, Judy, that given the numbers today that reported on unemployment, which, if anything, were probably lower the percentage than really a risk and a suffering as a result of this tragedy, that the economy, which was the issue on which Donald Trump was going to run for re-election, is his hope. For only hope for re-election, which quite frankly seems a lot, his prospects for seem a lot less bright than they did just 2 months ago. And I think that he is really almost determined to will the economy to be recovering heading into the campaign and the election of the fall. I don't think there's any question about it. And he's trying to have it both ways, that the governors are the ones making the decision. And I think that's the political reality. I think it's that simple and that straightforward.
I want to ask both of you, we've only got a little time left, though, about... David, were you going to say something? Go ahead.
Just quickly, that I'm not sure the governors are having that big an effect. The American people shut themselves down before the governors acted, and the American people began opening themselves up before the governors acted. So a lot of this is on us, and we're not following the governor's rules. It's our own society that we are running, and we've got to be a little more self-disciplined.
Just quickly to both of you on this question of White House interference. You have the scientist at the Department of Health and Human Services saying he was removed because he wanted to work on vaccines earlier this year. And now just tonight, we just are reading an AP report on White House efforts to bury CDC recommendations on opening up. Just quickly, Mark, and then you, David, is this something Americans should worry about?
Sure that we should, Judy. I mean, it began with the Colonel. First, we saw it was with Colonel Vindman. We've seen it time and again. Ambassador Sondland, anybody who faced their responsibility, answered truthfully and testified openly, retribution. I mean, we saw it with Michael Atkinson, the Inspector General at the intelligence. I mean, all of whom got the gate when they didn't do what the president wanted.
David, just a few seconds.
Tell the truth, and this administration is not telling the truth. Telling the truth is the key to pandemic policy.
David Brooks, Mark Shields, staying safe. Thank you both.